Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. All right, there was a commemorative event today in honor of the 1 year anniversary of George Floyd's murder in Minneapolis, and in George Floyd Square, I guess shots were fired. The several media crews were taking live video of the event when the sounds of the gunshots can be heard in some of their recordings. We will keep you posted on this. So far, I think we know that one person was injured, but I haven't heard anything else yet. Now, there's been a lot of talk about gun control from the left for forever, really. But, you know, it certainly does. Sometimes it's in the news and sometimes it's not. And depending on what they're seizing and pouncing on, sometimes, you know, they let things slide. But right now they brought on or they're bringing out David Hogg. And this caught my eye for a couple reasons. Allison Camerota from CNN was interviewing David Hogg and he was spewing complete nonsense. And actually, if you listen closely, he uses the word "broughton," which I thought was a new one on me. But a lot of people saw this clip, which I'm about to play for you, and they were remarking on the fact that why are we pretending that he's an expert? I don't trust the regular experts on things, but let alone someone who's not an expert at all. Listen to what David Hogg had to say about why people are buying guns. Cut five.
As a country, oftentimes we would rather, unfortunately, turn on each other and point to someone's skin color or point to someone's immigration status or their gender or their sexual identity and claim that's the threat, when in reality, we should all be working together against the sources of evil that are creating this gun violence and the injustice that promotes this gun violence and gun purchases in the first place. Because the reality is, what's going to help solve this situation is not somebody buying, you know, another AR-15 or another gun. It's going to be all of us working together to change the political system and the corruption and system of loopholes that has brought us to this place where a corporate lobby, essentially, like the NRA, is able to put such a chokehold on our elected officials that they're letting thousands of Americans die every year.
All right, so a lot of people were making their remarks, why didn't they bring on an expert? And I thought, well, I know an expert, Toby Leary from Cave Gunworks. So, Toby, thank you very much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Thank you so much, Grace, for having me on. And, yeah, like you said, David Hogg is the Greta Thunberg of the gun control movement. Like, why is he considered an expert in anything? Never mind, you know, the gun control aspect. And it's funny how she teed up that question. Like, hey, David, why do you think people are out buying guns? And he's like, well, you know, skin color and all that. It's a bunch of malarkey what he just spewed.
Yeah, and Toby, I don't want to interrupt you, but I just want to be clear here. Yeah. I missed the beginning part of that in the cut. So she could have asked him about gun violence, but I do think there is a disconnect over why what they consider gun violence, and they consider it to be caused by people who are lawful gun owners. And I don't think that those two things necessarily correspond.
Right. And that, unfortunately, is what the gun owning community of lawful, you know, responsible gun owners has faced for decades. In fact, in this state, the Department of Criminal Justice is the one that, like, administers, you know, the gun registration and whatnot in this state. I always thought that to be odd. I'm a law-abiding, responsible citizen. Why does the Department of Criminal Justice administer the gun registration and the licensing, and, you know, Department of Public Safety falls under that as well? Like, I always thought that to be odd. Like, it automatically infers that if you're a gun owner, you're just a ticking time bomb waiting to happen. And nothing could be further from the truth. Statistically, responsible gun owners are less likely to commit crime than non-gun owners because they feel there's a lot at stake. They don't want to you know, take the chance of losing something that they hold dear to their heart by having a felony on the record or, you know, something to that effect. So they are more likely to follow the law, even to their own hurt and peril in some cases, where they don't believe that the government has the right to restrict them when it comes to the AR-15 or large capacity magazines based on the Constitution, the Contract with America, and yet they'll comply with it until the law changes via, you know, some court that finds it unconstitutional, because they don't want to put everything else in jeopardy, even though they know full well that their rights are being infringed upon. There's no other right that is treated the same way as guns. And Clarence Thomas said it best when he said, it is a second-class right. I'm kind of paraphrasing how he said it, but it is now a second-class right. And that's the truth of the matter. You don't have to jump through any hoops to exercise your First or your Fourth or any of those other rights. But when it comes to Second Amendment, you know, doesn't matter how long the list is, it's never enough for the people on the other side, the David Hogs of the world, who look at gun owners as somebody who is just waiting to happen. And they look at, you know, a crime waiting to happen. And they look at the, the run on guns, if you will, all the new purchases, as a bad thing when it's more responsible people choosing to be armed. And I think it's great. Obviously, I'm in that business, so a little biased, but
no, but I'm glad you brought that up, because something I always notice when a horrible shooting happens, whether it's a mass shooting in a school or, you know, and we're all on the same page that when irresponsible people get their hands on weapons, horrible things can happen. But there's this argument that gets kind of ridiculed by the left, like, oh, a good guy with a gun is the only one who can stop a bad guy with a gun. And they always kind of use that if something goes wrong and there's not someone there, they say, oh, well, what happened to your theory that a good guy with a gun can stop a bad guy with a gun? But the older I get, Toby, I'm really starting to think that, especially because all of these laws that they keep implementing don't seem to be working. You look at places like Chicago where they have very strict gun laws. You do start to think to yourself, well, maybe this is a positive, having people who are armed, who are responsible, who are, you know, aware and have their head on a swivel. Maybe that is going to help prevent some violence from happening.
Right. And that's actually the thing I agree with what David said. He said he started talking about, we need to focus our efforts on the sources of evil that create gun violence. I agree with that 100%. And where does that happen? It happens in a place like you just said, Chicago or these inner cities. And guess what? The injustice of it all is the fact that the people who actually need guns to defend themselves in those places are highly restricted. And go try to get a permit in New Jersey or Washington, D.C. or Chicago, in the places that are high crime and high criminal element. And the problem is, none of these gun control groups ever set their stake in the ground in these places as ground zero of trying to fix things. They want to do it in middle America gun shows, or they want to do it and restrict the law-abiding, responsible gun owner. They could care less about the criminal element where the actual crime is taking place. They want to restrict my right and your right, which is ridiculous.
Well, again, I'm glad you brought that up, Toby, because there is a recent article in Business Insider, and I'm sure you get these sent to you all the time, about just how much gun and ammo sales are skyrocketing. And I was very happy to read that the headline was kind of how the younger generation, the millennials, my generation, are starting to buy guns. I've noticed that a lot, both with my fiance, he's very interested in them now, and just some of my friends who are interested in, in purchasing guns, or at least getting to know more about them. But another fact that I think coincides with what you just said is that women and people of color, are their percentage of people interested in owning guns has also skyrocketed.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that the percentage of new gun owners here in the last year, we're quickly approaching 50-50 as far as male and female. I would say it's probably 60-40, still 60% male, but women are coming on stronger than ever. I had a private lesson this morning with a woman who just got a gun this year, and she just wanted to learn how to shoot it and defend herself. And you know, he started out saying, oh, people are fearful and that's why they're buying guns. Well, of course they're fearful. When you release criminals out of jail and you burn down the police station and you defund your police department, of course people get a little nervous about their own personal safety. But personal responsibility has always been, you know, the number one, you know, self-defense falls upon us. You know what I mean? We, unfortunately, the police do a phenomenal job, but sometimes they're a little too late and they're responding to a crime. They're not there as preventative. You know, they're not there for prevention. They're there for response. And so we are our own first responder in, under that definition. So,
you know what, Toby, I want to play for you Senator John Kennedy. He has this ad out and I think you're really going to enjoy it because it goes along with what you were just saying. Cut six, please, Jared.
Folks, I believe that love is the answer, but you ought to own a handgun just in case.
It does make sense. Love is the answer, but it doesn't hurt to own a handgun.
Yeah, nothing speaks to the responsible gun ownership more than that. Like, yeah, there's people that enjoy it, shooting as a recreational hobby activity or competing or collecting and all that. But if you own a gun for defensive reasons or self-defense, you hope you never need to use that. And by all means, you try everything else first to de-escalate or leave the area and get out of the way or, you know, barricade yourself in. Shooting is a last resort as far as I'm concerned. And you know what? But the end of the day, my family, I owe it to my family to come home and be the dad and the husband that I should be for my kids and my wife. And my kids, conversely, I owe it to them to protect them and my wife to protect her. And she's also very capable herself. But on the other hand, that's what it's for. It's for the worst case scenario. It's not like we walk around town with, you know, looking for a fight. If anything, now that I'm a law-abiding gun owner, you know, now that I'm a responsible gun owner, I avoid certain places. I'm less likely to get into a confrontation than I was, you know, when I didn't carry a gun. So,
well, I'm glad you like that.
That's really what it comes down to.
I'm glad you like that political ad, Toby, because I saw it on Twitter today and David Hogg was not a fan of it, as you can imagine. Toby, thank you so much from Cape Gunworks. Toby, what's the website where people can go learn more and maybe come visit you at Cape Gun?
Yeah, come to CapeGunworks.com and you can get signed up for a class or see some of our inventory. You can shop online and you can give us a call. We'll help you out anytime. We're open 7 days a week. And I really appreciate you having me on, Grace.
And
anytime.
Toby, you do your own show too. I know because my fiance listens sometimes. What are the details on that if people want to tune in?
Yeah, that'd be great. We're on WXTK and WCRN on Saturday from 7 to 8 p.m. every Saturday. And you can also stream it online on the iHeartRadio app. And you can also listen to it in podcast form, either on our website or wherever you get your podcast from. So it's called Rapid Fire.
All right. So awesome. Thank you so much, show. Toby. Toby Leary from Cape Gun. Great guy. Great business. Make sure you check them out. It's true what they say, a perfect smile. Change your smile. Change your life. I'm very excited about this ad today, Jared. You know why?
Why is that?
I'm going to Perfect Smiles tomorrow.
Oh, excellent.
I'm going to get my teeth cleaned, and I'm so excited. I'm one of those people that, like, I actually get kind of pumped up for that, checking it off my list, you know, and then you feel good, and your teeth are all slippery because they're so clean. I'm really pumped to go see everybody at Perfect Smiles, Dr. Bruce Houghton. The entire team there is so great. But what you guys really should check out are their video testimonials at PerfectSmiles.com. You're going to see some incredible transformations. You might also recognize the older blonde man. His name is Howie Carr. You can see his transformation at PerfectSmiles.com. Dr. Houghton really is an artist. He changes people's lives, their confidence, how they feel about themselves. Parking is free and the staff is warm and welcoming. Perfect Smiles is conveniently located in Nashua, New Hampshire. I want to add this in because I've made the mistake before of calling the wrong Perfect Smiles. It's Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. So make sure that's the one you go to. Go to PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. I'll keep you guys posted on how it goes tomorrow. I'm very excited. We'll be back on the other side. This is The Grace Curley Show.
She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin like mine, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. Beautiful packaging. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps that smell amazing. I really cannot say enough great things about these soaps. I think everyone should check them out and then tell me that I was right. Love your soap, love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's, CapeLily.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Which publication is a bigger embarrassment, the New York Times or the Washington Post?
I'm going to stick with WAPO because I'm reading this puff piece on Biden and it stinks.
The New York Times polling at 76% and 24% of the audience say the Washington Post is more embarrassing.
All right, I will get back to this Washington Post piece, but to give you guys a slight reprieve, I want to talk about this Governor Whitmer drama. She got caught dining out without a mask, which is fine, I believe, because she's vaccinated, but she pushed tables together. She pushed the tables from 6 to 11, and just like that, timing is everything. The rules on the tables have been lifted since she got caught. Her explanation was, I am human, I make mistakes, and also something about how the pizza was very good.
They have pretty good pizza.
Yeah, that summarizes it up pretty well. But Governor Whitmer, according to another restaurant owner in Michigan, should face penalties for COVID-19 hypocrisy. Now, this is interesting. A Michigan restaurant owner who was jailed and fined for violating COVID-19 restrictions said Tuesday that Governor Gretchen Whitmer should face similar consequences. I feel like, you know what, I'm not going to quote her. I'm going to play the sound here. This woman's name is Marlena Pavlos Hackney, and this is Cut 12.
Governor Whitmer is a servant. Her duty is to protect us and protect us unalienable rights. We the people, we can decide what is right. As you know, she broke her own order or her health order, and she asked for forgiveness. Well, I feel like all of us, we should be on the same page. If I have to face all these penalties, which I went through, which was coveted search, handcuffs, shackles, fortnights in jail, fine, $15,000, I think she should face the same penalties. Mm. We the people, we all equal, does not merit because you the government that we have to forgive you.
Yeah, this woman spent four nights in a slammer and paid $15,000. Do you think if she had said, oh, our pizza's really good, it would have been okay? It's absolute hypocrisy. Treat us with dignity and respect. That's what she said. None of these government hacks know even how to do that. Just quickly here, give you a little WAPO. Biden sometimes takes his lunch to go to various meetings in what Coons describes as not quite a lunch pail, but it's his little bag of stuff. So if he gets peckish in a meeting, he can have something healthy. Often a protein bar, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, and a travel-size orange Gatorade. There it goes again. In a nod to COVID, each cookie is individually enclosed in a wrapper with a gold White House seal, making them hot commodities among staff and visitors. He has the taste of a five-year-old, a longtime Biden advisor quipped. Let's see here. Coons again added he's got his little lunch and stuff, his books, and it's like he's commuting to work. He's also known to sneak out on the South Lawn to hang out with Champ and Major. I'm skipping around here.
Coons in this case is Senator Chris Coons.
Yes, Senator Chris Coons, a Democrat. Lee expecting so he writes letters to people. I'm not even going to get into that because it will just bore you to tears, but I like this part. That desire for human contact extends to Biden's workday in the White House, where he sometimes surprises staffers by stopping unannounced at their workstation, especially if he has heard some news about their family and wants to check in. Biden is also liable to stop in the middle of a story that reminds him of an old acquaintance to call that person and see how they're doing, or to phone a staffer's parent just to wish them a happy birthday. This is like those magazine articles about a celebrity that say, you know, she's so nice to the waitress and she eats bread. Give it up. All right, we'll be back with producer's picks. Don't go anywhere.
live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I almost forgot my favorite part in this Joe Biden puff piece. There's pretty much one a day. You know, it switches between the New York Times, WAPO, CNN. They write some glowing piece about Joe. Another way Biden tries to pierce the bubble is absorbing non-political news. One advisor recalled an episode from 2014 when the then vice president was preparing for a speech at the Detroit Auto Show. The speech had a line comparing a Corvette and a Porsche. And Biden turned to his aides and asked, "There was an article in Car and Driver last month comparing the torque. Does anybody have it?" No one did, so they scrambled to track down a copy, finding that it did indeed contain the piece Biden cited and that he had correctly remembered which vehicle had higher torque. Ah!
I mean, that is an accomplishment for Dementia Joe.
In 2014?
That's a good point.
We are not worthy. We are not worthy of this brilliant Socratic mind.
Just such a macho mechanic type, you know?
Jared, do you know that in the middle of the Trump era, Biden, who favors biographies and volumes on comparative religion, bet you didn't know that.
I did not.
Became obsessed with two books, How Democracies Die by Stephen Levitsky. And
I believe it.
And White Working Class, Overcoming Class Cluelessness in America by Joan C. Williams. He carried both copies everywhere, scrawling notes on the pages and pulling out well-worn copies to share passages. He marks up his books very profusely.
With crayon?
He writes in the margins and highlights and underlines.
That's just orange Gatorade he spills.
During his 2020 presidential campaign, Biden would regale aides with human interest tidbits from Apple News, an app that came preloaded on his iPhone and that he apparently never replaced. When he and First Lady Jill Biden, whom he affectionately calls Jilly, why doesn't he call her Dr. Jilly? That seems kind of sexist. Yes. Are traveling, they call each other multiple times a day. And then I like this part because it really rings true of Joe Biden. Before or after most events, one longtime advisor said the president calls his wife or one of his grandchildren and leaves long messages describing the crowd in the scene. I don't know if she listens to them or deletes them, but he processes out loud, one person said.
I also believe that.
Can't you just believe her getting that like a 4-minute voicemail? She's like, oh, God, delete. All right. Well, we'll get to this a little bit
Jilly
later.
Bean.
Hey, Jilly. No, Jared, picture the scenes where it was like six people with the tape around them during COVID. I'm here before the rally. There's six people. They can all hear me right now. All right, without further ado, it is time for Producer's Picks.
And now, the feature so many of our listeners wait for each day, Producer's Picks.
This is the time of the show where Jared tells us what's on his mind. Go for it, Jared.
All right, well, we do have some good news. The White House says that today the United States will reach 50% of American adults fully vaccinated for COVID-19.
Nice.
You know what that means? Shut it all down. Shut it down. Shut it down.
Open it all up.
Says Charlie Parker.
It ends this Saturday, right? This is the countdown mode for Charlie. I hope he's soaking this all in.
Yes, and President Biden previously set a goal of having 70% of all adults receiving at least one dose of the vaccine by July 4th. You can bet that's going to happen thanks to Jilly Bean.
This is a house of learned doctors.
Amen.
All right. Well, you know, people have difficult names to pronounce sometimes. Anthony Blinken can be a little confusing. You might think somebody would say Anthony because Anthony is not a common first name.
Yeah, I've done that before with his name.
Yeah. So Secretary of State Anthony Blinken was visiting President Abbas of Palestine, and President Abbas, this is via his interpreter, started off by saying, "In the name of God, the merciful and the compassionate, we would like to welcome Secretary Clinton, who visits us in these days." And the staff says, "Blinken, Blinken." And President Abbas says, "Sorry, Blinken, and Secretary Blinken says it's an improvement. And according to the transcript, there is laughter.
Oh,
so Anthony Blinken about to get Clinton-sided.
Oh man.
maybe double check the engines on the Secretary of State plane there, Anthony.
Seriously, don't go for any long walks in the woods.
Yeah. If you Yikes. Do bring Chardonnay, it might
That's
be
That's actually a pretty
barter.
Funny joke. That's funnier than anything Biden said.
How dare you?
I mean, that man had a little bit of a Biden moment, I guess.
Yes. But I mean, again, he's been there for he's been there for 16 years. So he's
due one.
Yeah, he's due one, and who knows who's coming and going.
Yeah.
All right. So
he should have just said, when they all said Blinken, he should have gone, it doesn't matter. Let's be honest with ourselves. Who cares?
Lights are blinking. I'm thinking. So New York is a mess, which is no shock to anybody.
Standing headline.
And, its leadership is just a disaster. I mean, remember last week we had, Mayor de Blasio wearing his, Brooklyn Nets jersey and his Brooklyn Nets hat. Under his collared shirt.
Yeah, he looked like he was the opening of Saturday Night Live when that show used to be funny.
Yeah.
And it came like 2 days after he mowed French fries like this close to a microphone.
Yeah, and I believe it was Stephen Miller, who we had on in the last hour, who said he looked like a Make-A-Wish kid sitting at
yes.
a table at Red Steez. Great follow. So, like any good politician, he's a fan of everybody's team. He's a fan of all teams. He just hopes.
Oh, he didn't pull a Hillary. Speaking of Clinton.
Yeah, right? He just hopes everybody has a good time. Well, this, it makes a little more sense. So he was wearing a Brooklyn Nets attire last week. The New York Knicks made the playoffs this year for the first time in like 100 years, I think. And he is talking about a game last night. Trae Young, for anybody who's wondering, is a player for the Atlanta Hawks, the opponent of the New York Knicks in their playoff series.
This is about basketball. I have an important official announcement. This is very serious. Want to get this out. Message to Trae Young on behalf of the people of New York City and anyone who cares about actually playing basketball the right way. Stop hunting for fouls, Trae. I want to quote Steve Nash, one of the great player, great coach. He says, quote unquote, that's not basketball. Trae, that Hawk's not going to fly in New York City. Come on. Play the game the right way. See if you can win. I think the Knicks are going to teach you a lesson.
Oh, okay. So you know what? I'm going to say something. I think his mindset was right here. Like, you know, trying to make a funny zing, bada boom, you know, us versus you, New York versus, I don't know what the teams he's even talking about are. But he got too technical. Like I don't know any of these people.
Yes, that very inside baseball, as they say.
He got very inside baseball and it got too serious. Like, it sounded like he was legitimately criticizing him.
Yeah.
From a place of, I'm the mayor, do what I say.
Trae Young hit the game-winning shot with 0.9 seconds left in game one. So, Mayor de Blasio.
What are the two teams?
The New York Knickerbockers and the Atlanta Hawks. The New York Knicks.
So, it was New York Knicks versus the Hawks. Okay. So, he's trying to get that, you know, set up that rivalry type thing.
Yeah. He's excited that the Knicks are back in the playoffs, as is most of New York that's left living there. And
all 55 of them.
Their governor, Andrew Cuomo, he is the gift that keeps giving. So Andrew Cuomo put out this statement. See if you can see what the issue here is. This Memorial Day weekend, flags will be flown at half staff and New York landmarks will be illuminated in red, white, and blue to honor essential workers who lost their lives to COVID-19. We owe these brave individuals a profound thank you and hold them and their families in our thoughts.
Oh, boy.
Now, call me crazy, but I'm pretty sure Memorial Day weekend already, or Memorial Day, and already has people that we're honoring.
Yeah, no, it's taken.
Yes, this line
you gotta
on
come up with a new one, Cuomo.
This line on the dance card is filled, LoveGov.
It's people with military service.
Yes.
And can I just say, love all the first responders, mad props.
No, absolutely.
We've thanked them profusely on this show, on Howie's show, But they have gotten a lot of thanks over the last year. I mean, I can't turn on my TV without seeing 16 commercials about them. I feel like they're good. I feel like they're probably going, okay, we're good. We get it. You appreciate us. Every sign in my neighborhood has, you know, first responders, we love you. You can't give the military people one day?
Yeah, and even if you want to honor the first responders who've lost their lives, do it next weekend. It's the first weekend in June. There's nothing going on.
Yeah, you have 364 other days you can do it.
I mean,
do it on Dr. Fauci's holiday.
No, that's Christmas Eve. We can't do that.
It's true.
All right. So we touched on this a little bit earlier with the Rand Paul situation, that suspicious package was mailed to his house. Well, 2021 is just going crazy, because if you had Richard Marks versus Rand Paul on your bingo card, you are a very lucky individual. So, over the weekend, a suspicious package was sent to Rand Paul's home. May 23rd, Richard Marks, the singer we just heard, tweeted this. I'll say it again. If I ever meet Rand Paul's neighbor, I'm going to hug him and buy him as many drinks as he can consume.
Now I understand.
Yes.
Because so, Rand Paul had said a C-list celebrity wants, you know, to encourage violence, but I didn't know who the C-list was.
The C-list celebrity is Richard Marks, who actually is a pretty funny follow on Twitter. Like, he's actually pretty witty. Unfortunately, it's just all TDS stuff now, but it was a very witty account for a
while. Would you call him C-list?
C-list? I mean, I guess technically, I don't know when his last album came out, so...
Is that his biggest song, the one you just played?
Yeah, that's probably his biggest, Right Here Waiting, I think it's called. He was big in the 80s and the 90s. I confused him with Kenny G for a long time, because Kenny G was also a kind of a jazz saxophone...
Has Kenny G weighed in at all?
Yeah, Kenny G has not weighed in, but I can now tell the difference between Kenny G and Richard Marks, and my life has been impacted in no significant way.
I just don't understand this this really, really mean streak that these Democrats have, where they can't wait to jump on something like this. Remember when Trump got COVID? They were all hoping that Trump was going to die from COVID.
Have fun dying, science denier.
And it's like, and real serious people.
Try and take Melania with you.
Blue check marks were tweeting horrible, horrible things. It's like, I just don't understand. I wouldn't. You couldn't name a Democrat who, if something happened to them, I would be on Twitter celebrating it. It's just not a good way to be. It's bad karma. It's just a bad thing to put out into the universe. But these people really don't see us anymore as people they disagree with. They see us as evil Neanderthal, monster, credulous, boomer, rude, bitter, clinging, suckers and losers.
Yes, on this day, as you mentioned earlier, 1 year ago today, George Floyd was murdered by the police. George Floyd Square celebrated today with a drive-by shooting and smashing the phone of a reporter who was taking a picture of a window front with bullets in it. So there's that unity we're always talking about.
Yeah, that, it looks like it was a complete mess there today. Oh, yeah. I mean, there's tons of live TV footage of it. I just hope everyone's okay.
Yeah. On this day in 1961, JFK speaks to Congress and promises that we will put a man on the moon before Russia by the end of this decade.
And he delivered.
May 25th, 1961. He did deliver. 1968, the St. Louis Arch opens in St. Louis, which is the lamest, most hackneyed tourist attraction in the history of time. But I digress. And
Hey, I think people would disagree with you who are from there.
You are welcome to disagree if you are from St. Louis. We are enemies.
I don't want to ostracize our St. Louis listeners. So I think maybe you should issue some sort of mea culpa about that.
The Grace Curley Show has no issue with St. Louis and does not wish to offend anybody. Jared Diglio personally does. All right.
All right, fair enough. You know what? I like free speech on this show. So you know what? Go for it.
And on this day in 1977, Grace, Star Wars was released.
Ugh.
Retroactively titled Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, it introduced the world to Luke Skywalker, Han Solo, Chewbacca, Princess Leia, R2-D2, C-3PO, all of your favorites, and really ushered in a new wave of science fiction movies.
And ushered in a new wave of eye rolls from Grace Curley anytime someone brings it up. Ugh. Star Trek, Star Wars, I'm snoozing no matter what. By the way, guys, just an update here. This Friday, very big news. We have the 110 Grill remote for my birthday bash. And I'm very excited about that. So make sure you come check it out. We'll be there from 12 to 6. That's the 110 Grill in Plymouth. Call them before and make a reservation. That way you know for sure you got a seat at the table. There'll be cake, books, and a chance to win a VIP experience. That's the 110 Grill in Plymouth on Friday. To celebrate my B-Day. All right, hotels, vets, and dentists all have purchased multiple units of the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, but some people have purchased one at a time, and that got us thinking, there's a better way to do this. And right now, we're running a great deal. For the first time, you can get 3 Thunderstorm units for under $200 and save $200. That means one for your basement, for your first floor, for your second floor, all in one purchase. You've heard Dr. Matt talk about this because he got his son one, because his son has a stinky cat, which we need to learn that cat's name because I don't think he appreciates being besmirched on this program every day.
We'll call the cat Jilly.
Oh, that's not nice. So with the 3-pack, you can now enjoy clean air everywhere in your house or workplace. Jared loves it because he has really bad allergies, especially right now. The pollen is wild.
Yes, if you have allergies, you need to get yourself an Eden Pure Thunderstorm. It actually purifies the air that you're breathing, whether you plug it into your wall or you have it in your car. Get the 3-pack. You can do both. I keep one in my car. I have two at home. They are fantastic if you have breathing troubles because of allergies.
Yes, and if you have pet odors, kitchen odors, tobacco odors, or just a damp smell lingering in your basement, go to EdenPure.com, put in code word GRACE to save, put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE3. This special is for this week only, and the end of the week is going to be here before you know it. All right, we'll be back with Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
She's never held office, but she paid the Whiskey Priest's monthly rent once. She's Grace Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Today's car crossover is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-Pack. Everyone has been waiting for this, and it's good until Sunday. Get your Thunderstorm Air Purifier 3-Pack at EdenPure.com and put in code word GRACE3, holding it up for the camera now. That's EdenPure.com, code word GRACE3. Howie Carr, thank you so much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me, Grace.
All right, Howie, what do you think of this? And I know that your word is unexpected, and I don't want to steal the unexpected from you, but I've been noticing a new word. It's sudden. There's this sudden potential that there could have been something happening at the Wuhan lab.
Yes, I know. I'd like to thank Rand Paul. I want to talk about this on my show. I mean, Rand Paul, he deserves some kind of combat ribbon for what he's been through the last few years. You know, he's been shot at. He's been, assaulted, broken ribs, punctured lungs, menaced on the streets of D.C. leaving the White House, and now they're sending poison to him. To his house because he busted, now the latest, because he busted Fauci. He busted this whole scam.
No, absolutely. And we had Stephen Miller on earlier, and he said the same thing. He said nothing. Well, his point was nothing has changed that drastically as far as the facts go. It's just now suddenly it's acceptable for people like Glenn Kessler to say that the timeline now makes sense.
Is he doing any more research on Donald Trump's father's ad when he was running for mayor of New York in 1969 with those racist ads? Oh, that's right. There weren't any racist ads. He just tweeted out about those racist ads from 1969.
Howie, his schedule is jam-packed looking at Tim Scott's great-grandfather's schooling and, you know, what age he started picking cotton. Glenn Kessler is really crazy. But I want to play one cut for you here, Howie, because we didn't get to this today. Listen to John Berman. He's saying that the lab discussion was clouded from the start. Cut two.
A lot of the discussion about the lab leak, I think, was clouded early on because there was a suggestion by some that it was somehow a Chinese weapon.
Do you think it was clouded, Howie? I don't think it was clouded.
No, some people like CNN, John Berman's employer, were lying about it.
Exactly. All right, Howie will be up next. Don't go anywhere. This has been the Grace Curley Show.